Welcome to Across the Dietary Universe, a podcast where we bring experts along our voyage to discover the secrets of food and how it relates to each of our unique dietary profiles. From the origins of diets to current eating trends to the frontier of food innovation and the future of how we eat, we'll discover that when it comes to food, things are not necessarily as they seem. All right, let's get started. Meg Noe is here with us today from Allergy Amulet. Meg, it's so nice to have you here. Thank you for joining us on the Across the Dietary Universe podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So Meg Noe is the Chief Marketing Officer of Allergy Amulet. She has over 15 years of experience in business development roles for consumer products and therapeutics and medical devices, and has been behind multiple innovative product launches over the years. She's also an expert when it comes to food allergies and is certified as an aller coach and is a leader in the allergy community. But most qualifying of all, she's a mom to a daughter with food allergies, which means you'd be hard pressed to find a better expert than that. So welcome aboard, Meg.
Thank you. You got it. That's my biggest credential right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's super legit. There's a lot of people actually in the food allergy space, in the dietary restriction space, where, you know, the minute they have a family member or a child with this, or, you know, it could be a spouse or whoever it might be with some sort of restriction, the culture just changes. The education increases, you know, dining out, ordering food, going to the supermarket, it just becomes a new wormhole that you have to go into. And I think it does make you, you know, an expert just out of experience, frankly. So yeah, it's really exciting to have you on. Of course, beyond that experience, you have a ton of clout and a ton of expertise there. And the biggest one right now is that the fact that you're Chief Marketing Officer of Allergy Amulet. And you were just saying off the air that you've been there for 5 years and you were employee number two. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, we have our CEO and co-founder, Abby Barnes. And then we have another co-founder, Dr. Joseph Belbruno, who kind of brings the science and the technology side to our company. And then about 5+ years ago, myself and a scientist came on as the company's first hire. So wow, we've come quite a long ways in the last 5 years.
So can you tell me, first of all, why you decided to, so I have questions about Allergy Amulet and we'll get to that, but I'm curious about Meg first and then we'll get into Allergy Amulet. But what made you decide to join this mission? Because this seems like it's a very specific mission. It's something that maybe was a bit different than other stuff that you've done in the past. Still sort of in the same vein, but what was the reason why you're like, I'm getting on this ship?
Yeah, you know, it was, I wouldn't say it was an overnight change. It was kind of a slow progression of about, let's say almost 8 years ago, a little bit less, my daughter had an anaphylactic reaction and was diagnosed with peanut and tree nut allergies. And it was the first experience like that in our family. So wow, it was really eye-opening and also kind of paralyzing because we quickly realized there was a lot we didn't understand and know. So after our first couple visits with the allergist and quickly realizing in that short visit, number one, there's not a lot of time they can cover all the major basics of what you need to know to manage food allergies. But number two, feeling like I walked out with, okay, avoid her allergens, here are emergency medicines in case something happens and good luck. I quickly felt like, am I missing something? I mean, there's gotta be something more here. And so my journey kind of started back then. I kind of felt a little bit of a pull to do something in the space, but I didn't know what that was. And so I started just by volunteering in the advocacy space, getting really networked in my community with food allergy, which right, I'm lucky we have a very strong food allergy community that's very tight knit, and started volunteering with FAIR. And so I quickly got to understand kind of what the different roles are in this space, what companies are coming out, and then also looking at my background and skill set and saying, where do I fit in here? And that was what took a while, was a couple of years of kind of learning what was lacking in the space and what expertise I could bring to be able to actually kind of help further food allergy management.
Right. And you know, I think that happens. It's really interesting when someone with a business background meets this problem, because like you said, it's like, okay, here's your medication. Here's the or not medication, but here's the emergency situation, protocols, et cetera, and then good luck. And you're sort of thinking, well, you know, we have all this amazing technology around us. We have all this, you know, all these amazing solutions. Why isn't there a better solution for this problem yet? And I think a lot of people from a business background that were used to like finding problems and then coming up with solutions, that it could be very frustrating because you're like, what is the next course of action here? Except maybe research, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think it was the perfect storm with my background for me of coming from mostly a pharmaceutical and medical device branding and product launch background of launching first of its kind devices, coupled with the fact that I had this personal quest because I was a first-time mom and my firstborn, who was 1.5 at the time, I just found out she had life-threatening allergies. And I'm like, all right, combine those two worlds and I'm gonna help hopefully be one of those people to help figure this out.
Right.
So, you know, it's been several years in the making, but I feel like I found a spot where I could use my talents and my background and my voice. And I think that's an important lesson in anything in life is taking that step back and saying, where can I add value and what can I bring to the table and figuring out kind of your place in any space.
Right. And you know, more power to you for doing that, because this is a behemoth task that you're up against. It really is something, you know, a lot of times people looking at this are sort of just take it for granted, and say, well, you know, someone's going to eventually come up with it and someone's going to, but who's that someone, right? Who's that team that's going to do it? You know, again, we can raise money for research. Where's the research going to go? It's going to go into areas like this. And so at the end of the day, someone, you know, the rubber's got to meet the road and someone actually has to step up and do it. So kudos to you and the team for stepping up. And just for the listeners, you know, we've been talking about Allergy Amulet. Can you explain what is Allergy Amulet, you know, in a concise way? Because I could do it and just say it's something that can recognize it's a tech tool, hardware that can recognize if allergies or if allergens are contained in certain foods. But I think I'll do a better job.
Well, in the simplest form, that's what it is. Right. I mean, you have to know what your food allergy is. So let's say, you know, in my daughter's example, she has a peanut allergy. So if we go out to eat or somewhere where the food is prepared by others, not our home and not ourselves, you can take a sample of your food and test it. And in around a minute, it will tell you if your allergen is detected. So we like to think of it as another management tool in your food allergy management tool belt. So it's not replacing the diligence you already do when you eat at a new restaurant, eat food that someone else made, where you talk to the wait staff, you maybe bring a chef card, you have emergency medicines just in case, but it's just adding that tool to your arsenal of kind of getting one more data point to be able to say, okay, I've done everything I can do to know that my food is going to be safe for me.
Right. And I want to get into the tech a little bit, but what did you see when you joined? Was there any prototype? Was it on paper? Was it a PowerPoint? What did you see? And was like, wow, here's the magic.
You know, for me, a lot of it was, I think with a lot of things in this world, half of it is really believing in the cause and believing in the people that are behind it.
Right.
So for me, when I did join the team, being one of the first employees, our two co-founders, Abby, is a lawyer by trade. She has had food allergies her entire life. And for her, the quest started as a personal pain point, which I think is how a lot of great inventions start of there's got to be a better way to do X or Y. Our co-founder, Dr. Joseph Valbruno, also has food allergies. He was a Dartmouth chemistry professor at the time, and he's kind of considered the godfather on this technology.
Okay.
So she had heard about him when he was at Dartmouth, and he had created a company using molecularly imprinted polymers, which is the technology that we use, to detect nicotine and marijuana in public places. So she had heard about this technology, heard about the application, and she just approached him, not knowing he had food allergies at the time, and said, here's the pain point I see. Here's the device that I want to create. I have the business acumen and background and the drive. Do you think your technology would be applicable to this space? And he said, yes, not only do I think it would be a great application, but I'm severely allergic to tree nuts.
Wow.
And so knowing his deep expertise and the experience and really believing in the team, I felt like it was kind of the right move at the right time. At the time I was working as, you mentioned, I'm a certified allergy coach. So one of the biggest areas of that was kind of missing in the industry that I saw was that in between of diagnosis and then learning how to manage life, of all the things like, what do I need to talk to the school about? Do I need a 504 plan? You know, what do I need to train my restaurant staff, my back of house staff? What do they need to know when I have a server come to them and say, we have a patron with allergens? And so that's all the kind of stuff I was doing, was kind of that in between helping people manage life with food allergies.
So what's the difference in technology between NEMA and what you do?
Okay, so we use what are called molecularly imprinted polymers, or MIP technology. And the simplest way to think of it is, for each individual allergen, we look for a tracer molecule that's unique to that food. So for peanut, I've used that example, we're looking to identify a single tracer molecule. And the way our technology works is, we have these thin films, and I like to explain it like a key fitting perfectly into a lock. So if you test a sample of food and that tracer molecule is detected, it fits almost like a key into a lock, alerting the sensor. We use an electrochemical response that then alerts the sensor, yes, it's present and we've detected it. The biggest difference with NEMA, for example, is they test for antibodies. So the end goal is the same, in the sense of being able to tell you if your allergen is present. We just approach it in two very different ways.
I see. And would you be able to do gluten on the allergy amulet?
So yeah, so right now we'll be, so we did a round of pre-orders this year that we will be shipping close to the end of 2021. So we're getting very close, very exciting. And that is for peanut and soy, are our first allergens that we're launching. Gluten is very much in the pipeline, and we are getting a lot of requests and questions about it.
Right.
So no announcements have been made on timing yet, but I tell people, rest assured, it is definitely in the works. Our goal over the next few years is to launch with the top 9 most common allergens, so right, including sesame and gluten as well.
So that's really interesting. What I see with a ton of celiacs, it's sort of the same thing for us as Honeycomb. You know, we help people with all dietary restrictions of various severities find food they can eat. The reality is, you know, if you are celiac, maybe you can use like Find Me Gluten Free to find some, you know, some gluten free destinations or some other apps. But a lot of people with one food restriction will have other food restrictions as well. So what happens if you're celiac with a tree nut allergy? It's like you're sort of left for dead as far as any of the applications or interfaces or technology. So where I see Allergy Amulet, thriving is for people with like multiple allergies, because they've never had any hope or beacon of anything to look at before to say, well, maybe this is where we're going to get saved. So that is really, really cool that you're able to do that, multiple allergens.
Yeah. So, at first we'll test for allergens individually, but one of the cool things about our technology platform, so I talked about our technology, think of it as like a small film in the samplers. Those films have billions of cavities within each film. And so if you think about, over time, we'll be able to develop multi-allergen testing. So the goal in the next few years is to be able to say, okay, Meg has gluten, dairy, peanut, and almond, and be able to customize those test strips or testers for that individual's allergen profile. Because you're right, a lot of people, it's not just one. You know, for me personally, I don't have food allergies, but I have intolerances to dairy, citrus, and gluten.
Right.
And sometimes at a restaurant, it's hard because I'm like, okay, do I list them all? Do I prioritize? Like, what's the right way to go about it here? So yeah, I think that's a really promising factor.
How do you see this sort of pan out with restaurants? Is there any learning? Because the only sensor, I guess, the only one that I know is the NEMA that's out there. Is there any learning that you've looked at there as far as the interaction? And how do you see it panning out? You know, in that, because that is a very social situation. Like, we talk about, you know, food allergies in the environment of a restaurant, and it's become almost like a social issue. There was one, I was speaking to one allergy influencer recently, and she was talking about in England how they had a sign up in front of a restaurant that says, if you have food allergies, don't come in, right?
Wow.
And it's like, you know, what year is this? Right, as far as the discrimination is concerned, and that's a big issue with people of all dietary restrictions. When they're at the restaurant, it's like there's this social element that you don't want to bug the server too much. You feel like you're a burden. You don't really want to go through that in front of other people. So how do you see the Amulet helping that and integrating in the current environment of, you know, the restaurant back and forth?
Well, I think there are a couple different ways I can address this. The first one is from a product standpoint. If you think from the consumer standpoint of food allergies are hard enough, right? Like, it's a lot just to manage them. And then on top of that, to your point, when you go in a restaurant, you don't always want to be the one calling attention and having it ask a ton of questions, then, you know, it can get complicated. And so for us, discretion was important from the get-go when it came to kind of the product design, because right. we wanted, our biggest goal, especially because a lot of our team all live and breathe food allergy every day, is number one, we realize that it's not going to fit into everyone's lifestyle the same way, right? Like, my husband would probably carry an Amulet on a wristband or on his keychain, versus I might wear, we have a necklace configuration that's actually really chic and
it is.
Would look really pretty. I've actually worn it out multiple times, that I had my 20-something cousin ask me where I got my necklace, and I was like, that's good validation. Yeah. That's what I need to
it's
know.
It's really cool. And we've seen for a little while, actually, smart jewelry start to come to the forefront yeah. as, you know, maybe not the initial wearables. Of course, we all have the watches now, but sooner or later, yeah. we're sort of going to see more and more of the smart jewelry. So this is a great use case for that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and just being able to also having it be really small and being able to put it in a case in a child's backpack. I mean, for us, portability, being able to fit in any type of lifestyle, and discretion, if you just don't want to call attention to it, were big factors for us when it comes to thinking. I mean, I say thinking like the consumer, but we are the consumer. I am a food allergy mom. So I often think about, how would I carry this? How would I send this with my daughter to school? And she's now at the age where she goes to sleepovers and after school soccer parties and things where she's out of my care. And so I need to know that it's going to work for her too.
So this is something that could work. So the, you know, children could operate it themselves without necessarily an adult present. It's that user friendly. How old do you think would be the minimum age for you using this?
You know, it really is going to be up to the parents. That said, my 9-year-old, I feel comfortable that she could navigate it wow. without question. Because we have an app component, that there are a lot of benefits to the app, but you don't have to use okay. the app to run a test. All you have to have is the sampler component and the actual Amulet sensor itself. So if she were, in theory, at an after-school soccer party and there were cupcakes that she wanted to test, she could do that on her own if she had those two components with her.
Right.
And then jumping back to the other side of the equation, talking about restaurants and commercial kitchens, there is really a big need for the application there because, you know, one of the people that we have on our team is Chef Ming Tsai. He's a celebrity chef. He's known, he's a restaurateur. He's known as, you know, the food allergy chef. And he has a son that had several food allergies when he was growing up. And he learned through being a restaurateur and owning restaurants that if you are able to successfully serve a food allergy customer and gain their trust, you have a customer for life. And so for restaurants, I mean, you know, from my standpoint, if we have a great experience somewhere, we're going to be incredibly loyal there, because I can't say that about everywhere. You know, I see it where if a restaurant were to have an allergy Amulet down the road that they could also offer, they could say, okay, here are the steps we take in our kitchen to ensure that your food is safe. Here's who we've checked in with. And if you'd like to double check it with an Amulet, you're welcome to do that as well. I think just having that open dialogue and it being an option for both the consumers and the restaurants, I think would prove to be a really beneficial relationship.
Interesting. I mean, certainly, like, I see this working quite well. I know that you must have done a tremendous amount of testing. You know, I totally get the, you know, years in the making situation. This is not a type of product that is made, you know, in 6 months on a Kickstarter, and then you get it made in Asia and then you ship it in. Like, this requires a ton of R&D. It's not just design. How has the reaction been from the beta testers, that I imagine you've had? Is this something where they're looking at it like true to the name, like an amulet that will help them and save them?
Yeah, I mean, people have been really excited about it, and to your point, a lot of testing goes into it, and a lot of, we always say internally that we will never put our product out there until we ourselves are willing to use it ourselves and give it to our children to use. And so for us, having validation, third-party validation studies that are published that you can go read about our technology separate from us writing them, like we can put a blog on our website that talks about our technology, but it's different when Food Chemistry, the publication, takes our technology and our data and writes about it. And so we have a patent, we have multiple patents in the works, we have third-party validations and more coming down the pipeline. And so and just so many iterations of testing to make sure, 97% isn't enough, right? It has to work.
Right.
So that's why, some people might say, well, I don't understand why this takes so long, but we're really, when we get this on the market, we want it to be right, and we want to know that it's going to work.
Right. What about, any doubts or fears that some people with, severe allergies have? Because I know as far as this space is concerned, as far as marketing a product in this space, it sometimes is the case that companies are looking to make a buck off of this community who are desperate for a solution. Of course, not at, you guys are legit 100%. However, it's sometimes, hard to, for the consumer who's inundated, let's say with, with this offer and that offer, how do we distinguish that this one is legit? How do we know for sure that this is going to work? How do we put our trust in you? Are these doubts that are sort of dispelled as far as, like you said, third-party validation studies, when they know that you're doing that, is that something that makes them feel safe, or is it still a huge challenge as far as the adoption curve that you might only get, the early adopters of the allergy community, and it maybe will take years for it to become ubiquitous? Can you speak a bit to that challenge? Because I think it's something, just from a business perspective, that I imagine is quite interesting and a challenge for you.
Yeah, it is. And I think you really can speak to any new technology in that space on
That's right.
the kind of the bell curve of adoption, so to speak, right? I think back, when I was thinking about our talk today, I was thinking about the shift we've seen in the last, I don't want to say 50 plus years of moving into more personalized medicine and preventative medicine and healthcare. And in the 1970s and 80s, we started seeing the first kind of devices, so to speak, where you could monitor your blood glucose at home. And there were home pregnancy tests being developed. And then we move forward a couple more decades. And then we're into, now we're into Apple Watches and Oura Rings and all kinds of health monitors and detectors. And so we're still, I think, seeing, we're living this big shift of kind of not just your doctor in their office managing your health, but also us kind of taking onus of our own health care. And so you are going to see inevitably, you're always going to have your early adopters. You're always going to have those wait and see people. But I think a big part of my job is making sure that people understand the use case of our device or
Right.
our sensor. So for me, and that with my background of launching first of its kind medical devices, that's a big part of kind of what I've always lived and breathed, is making sure people understand not just the use case of when and where it's appropriately used, but what it's not intended to be used for. So that's something we are spending a lot of time on with messaging as we launch our
Right.
product, with packaging, with all kinds of things, making sure people understand. We call it kind of a supplement, not a substitute. So this is a supplement, or as I mentioned earlier, another tool in your food allergy tool belt
Right.
to manage your allergies. It's not going to replace the diligence you already take in managing them. You're not going to leave your emergency medications at home, but it's hopefully just giving you a little bit more information to help you determine if a food is going to be a safe choice for you.
And just a question on that. I do want to know the sort of, situations where maybe it's not used for, because that's interesting. Actually, why don't you answer that, and then I have a follow-up. So what would be a situation where you wouldn't use the allergy amulet, for example?
Well, when I say use case, it's not necessarily to say this food versus that food. It's more to say you're not going to replace what you were already doing. Right. So it's to say, okay, if before the allergy amulet, if you were going to go to a restaurant and you would typically call the restaurant to talk about your allergens and see if there would be some things on the menu that were safe for you, if you would normally talk to the wait staff or the chef themselves, if you would normally double check when the food comes to your table that, okay, just making sure we remembered this is my allergy, I'm good to eat. If those are the things, and also having your emergency medicines, if those are the things you were doing before, you should still be doing those things. You're just adding to your arsenal. You're not taking anything away. So that's what I mean by what it's not intended for is replacing what you were doing.
Got it. Are you using the amulet to double check on, you know, consumer packaged goods that maybe you're not 100% sure on, even though it says, you know, there's no traces? Are you doing that as well?
With testing, we are. It really depends on the consumer's comfort level.
Right.
Okay. You know, if they, if someone is so severely allergic and they, to date, I'm making up the scenario, but let's say they do not eat out because it's just not worth it for them. If they decide that, you know, they want to try eating out, and they use it, that can be one scenario, or it could be someone that's newly diagnosed and still trying to learn the ropes and is kind of testing everything because they just don't, you know, that's their comfort zone. So really it's each person and what they feel like will help them make those most informed food choices and make them feel comfortable. Like our big thing we like to say is take the worry off your plate. Whatever is going to take the worry off your plate is the goal.
I like that. Take the worry off your plate, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I have a question about, this is sort of to do with like network effect now. So if you have people go into a restaurant and, you know, let's say they ordered the, you know, the tagliatelle pasta and they determine that it's suitable for their, let's say it's a soy allergy, for example, they just want to double check, boom, this is safe for them to eat. They eat it, they have a great experience. Is there a way for them to give feedback to the rest of the community of allergy amulet folks to let them know, hey, this is safe at this restaurant, this item is safe?
Yeah, that's a great question. So earlier when I mentioned you don't have to have the app to run a test, the benefit if you choose to have the app or if you have your phone with you and can use the app is it's going to allow you to store and share all your past test results. It's going to allow you to enter information about restaurants, possibly provide reviews that other people can look up, connect with others in the food allergy community. So there are a lot of different components to the app that will be nice add-ons from a management perspective, but not necessary to run a test, if that makes sense.
Right. No, for sure. And I think this is a game changer, frankly. Like the way that I look at this, I see if you have an EpiPen and your allergy is supported by Allergy Amulet, it's like, why wouldn't you, you know, carry the EpiPen, carry the amulet. And you have another layer of protection there. And it's really cool. And it seems that it works. That's the main thing, is that it's got to work. And if scientifically it works, if the technology works, then this is a huge boon for the allergy community. And I don't really know where the pushback would be. I'm trying to play devil's advocate and see, you know, what would be a reason why you wouldn't want to do this. I think maybe one barrier for people, of course, like you said, in any adoption curve, you know, it's probably going to be the price. It's going to be, you know, at one point when it starts, and then as more people get it, scale production, etc., maybe it can get a bit cheaper. But man, what's the price of peace of mind?
Right. Well, and that, you know, and again, we talked about comfort. Some people might test 5 times a day. Some people might test twice a week. Right. It just depends. You know, everyone's going to use it a bit differently in that regard of what their price of peace of mind is, to your point. And I would also say, you know, that if I have to be part of any community, the food allergy community is pretty awesome in the sense of, you know, there's no cure on the horizon. And so we all are kind of doing our part to help people better manage their allergies. And right. So we work really closely with other people in the industry, like Spoken, the consumer app, or Food Equality Initiative, the first U.S. Food allergy food pantry that now ships nationwide. And their early introduction products that we feature articles on our blog, because really the end goal is just to make managing life easier for this community. And I think there's a place to do that in so many different ways, not just, okay, here, this is the tool I use, but there are so many ways that people are trying to bring ideas to the table to do that. And I have to say, I mean, even 7.5 years ago, my daughter being diagnosed to now is a world of difference in how you manage it. I mean, my first go-to then was calling my one friend I knew that also had a daughter with nut allergies and saying, what do I do? I mean, where do I even start? Versus now, you know, like I said, there are apps that help you manage, and there are, you know, to what you guys are doing, the customizable menus and just so many tools that can help you do this and not feel like you're kind of siloed.
Right. Yeah. There's a hypothesis that if there is investment in the allergy or dietary restriction community, there could be a significant economic benefit, and there could be a significant you know, return for that investment over time. And it seems that that's starting to come a bit more into the forefront. But what I would love to see is, as far as the efforts that we are doing, as far as the efforts that you are doing, that, you know, Spoken is doing, that all these companies are doing, we can make the case to the larger tech companies. We're talking about the Uber Eats of the world, the DoorDashes of the world, to make that investment, not in a more precise algorithm, you know, to get customers to pay an extra dollar for food or to order an extra time or whatever, but to invest that, you know, whatever, if it's $100 million into a department that can look into R&D for allergy, to look into R&D for dietary restrictions, and not just from the consumer perspective, but from the restaurant perspective. And I think sooner or later, you know, all of us startups and scale ups will sort of apply that, you know, pressure and to prove our case that there is an economic benefit. And people are starting to see that. And we see it with plant-based for a while. Everyone would just laugh at the vegans. Like, oh, ha, 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 okay, cool. It's like, you know, if you're a CrossFit or something, like, oh, you're going to say to everyone that you're a vegan. Like, there's a social joke about it, right? And you also see that at restaurants with servers sometimes will snicker. In the past, you'd hear them snicker and you'd hear the comments under their breath. But nowadays, I think it's becoming less and less of an issue because people are starting to see, wow, it's a Beyond Meat patty that didn't kill an animal. Maybe it's, you know, it's not that bad and I can eat it too and I'm not a vegan, right?
Right. Right. I think that's a great point. And also, you know, one other thing I think about, we have a statistic that's up on our website that when I first read this, I mean, I know a lot of the statistics by heart in the food allergy space, but this one that stuck with me is that 6% of food allergic and intolerant households avoid entire categories of food because of an allergy. So we're talking frozen foods, snack foods, breads, and that equates out to a $10 billion market opportunity for food manufacturers. Which is a lot of money. And so I really think, you know, as we move forward with better food allergen labeling and all of these management tools, it's really a call to action also to say, you know, not only is this better for our health, but this is going to benefit you too. It's some extra work on the front end to get there. But, you know, if I had a bad experience with crackers and I just cut out all crackers, there are a lot of food manufacturers that are losing out on my business having multiple family members, right?
Yeah.
I just thought that was shocking.
That's right. And I think it's, again, the fact that something that you do is you're not just for soy allergies, you're not just for shellfish allergies, you are looking at the top nine, and I imagine after that, even beyond. And that is something that's really cool because we can all sort of come together. That's when you start to see, wait a second, everyone requires ingredient disclosure. Why don't we disclose it for soy and for egg and for gluten? And then it becomes like really economically interesting. At Honeycomb, we did that for restaurants. We said, well, if you're only going to label for one small segment of the community, like, you might as well label for everyone. You can attract more business because the person who's going on a keto diet, maybe they have an egg allergy, right? What, it's to say people with food allergies don't have any other lifestyle aside from food allergy? That's also like, you know, a form of stereotype where, oh, you already have this. You shouldn't be doing all these fitness, you know, other diets and stuff. It's like, no, people are complex and they want to have fun. And we want to normalize whether you have food allergies or whether you have an intolerance or whatever it might be to live your life to the best of your ability. And that sometimes means crossing over. And so I think as we group them all together, there's a huge benefit for the community. And I'm just super impressed with everything about Allergy Amulet, the look of it, the technology, the research. It seems like you're the right person for the job too. So I'm amped up. Let's go, Allergy Amulet.
I appreciate that. And you know, it's funny when you were talking about like, these people have certain diets and they're complex and they, you know, they want to enjoy life too. It's funny because I always give the example of my direct family. My brother and my mom are vegan for belief and health purposes. I have multiple intolerances. My daughter is allergic to all nuts. And people are like, when you get together, what do you eat? I'm like, we eat amazing. Yeah. Like we all are very into food. And if you check my personal Instagram, I post recipes all the time because I'm a huge foodie. And I truly believe that it doesn't need to be complicated to eat healthy and eat beautifully. And so anyway, it's so funny because now that I live it, I'm like, once you learn the ropes, it's not that bad, but I think we all need help getting there.
For sure. For sure. And I think I want to know, because everything is good and well, everything looks like it's on the right track, but I know because in business, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to scaling, when it comes to going to market, there's always obstacles, there's always challenges to overcome. And I'm wondering from your perspective now, what is the biggest challenge that you're facing at the moment?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I think there are a lot of little challenges, like, you know, with COVID, for example, I think everyone in some way is affected along the chain of development. For us, probably one of the biggest challenges is being a hardware product. I don't want to discredit like cloud-based platforms, for example, but when you're developing a software system, it's not as expensive and it typically doesn't take as long when it's software-based. When you're a hardware-based product, for example, I think this has kind of been our challenge from the beginning is we're still pretty much a new product category. So we're still proving out the technology, proving out the product category. And it takes a lot of time and money to get a hardware product onto the market. And I think that's something, you know, that's something I hadn't started with a hardware product from day one before this company. I had a lot of experience, like I said, in first of its kind technology, but you don't realize hardware products, how long they take to get onto the market. And so, I would say that's just kind of a recurring challenge is our time, money, effort, the research and development that it takes. It's just, you know, you want to get it out there to be relevant, to help people when it's still a very relevant problem. And so we're trying to do that as fast as we can, but we also have to make sure that it is the right quality and accuracy before we can do that.
Right. I mean, that's a huge point right there. Hardware for sure is way more difficult to iterate on than software. You can, you know, mm-hmm. make a quick update, boom, goes across all devices and you can test that out. You can test this out. Hardware doesn't work like that. And really, you have to wait. You have to be patient with this. It's not something that happens immediately, especially if it's good. I always tell people an airplane, you wouldn't want to go on a beta airplane. You want to make sure that that's tested, you know, quite thoroughly before you get on and bring your children on there. And we saw what happens when they do ship it too quickly. Not too long ago with Boeing, they had to ground the entire fleet of planes. It's like, no. When it comes to the space of dealing with people's health, the more research and development, the better. So I think, you know, everyone will be is okay to wait for the product. And I have no problem with, you know, more R&D. To get that out there. And it sounds like you're making the right moves and not shipping something just, you know, maybe from investor pressure or whatever. You want to push the best product out there. And I see that exactly. So yeah, kudos to you and the team for approaching this in the right way.
Thank you. Well, I think, you know, for us, we have watched I wouldn't say there are a lot of exact similar products to what we do, but products that have similarities in the category, in the space, or things like that, that we've really kind of benchmarked ourselves against and watched what they've done well and what we feel like we could improve on. And we watched one such product that had amazing potential, but they pushed to launch really fast. And what we saw is there were typos on product packaging, which that's not the end of the world, but it's for me, who has a journalism background and I read things a lot, it doesn't instill a lot of confidence when I see that right when I open the box. But then down to, oh, they didn't put, you know, the intended use case versus not. They didn't put what this doesn't test for, what the readout isn't going to show. There were a lot of unanswered questions, and there was a lot of pushback when you see that, and you can see, you know, on the front end, it might look great to push to market fast, but on the back end, it's not going to best serve your community if you don't have all that information available and buttoned up and ready for them. And so, you know, I think you're right. In Silicon Valley, it is a constant debate. But I think there are some benefits to making sure you're doing it right.
Right. And when it comes to health, I think it's always best to err on the side of precision and to create that culture of precision. Like you said, even on the packaging, to make sure, you know, if there's a typo there, is there going to be a typo in the code? Is there going to be a typo in the hardware?
Right. Exactly.
Attention to detail is extremely important in this case. Meg, is there anything that you want listeners to go to? Any call to action here that we should send people to? Of course, there's allergyamulet.com, AMULET. Any specific thing they should go to? Should they get on the wait list? What should they do?
Yeah, I would say we'll be shipping pre-orders closer to the end of this year, and then we'll be opening our shop soon after that. And so the best thing for people to do, if they aren't following along already, you can follow us on social. We're super active on there, especially on Instagram. But also on our website, you can sign up for our newsletter. And the newsletter is where we reach out with all the latest and greatest information about when the shop will open. We also have a media library on our site. We really like to see ourselves as not just a product, but a food allergy resource for people in the community. So we have tons of webinars, freebie downloads, what questions should I be asking my allergist, tons and tons and tons of blogs. So that's also, if you're just looking, for example, I just had a friend that emailed me yesterday that her son was just diagnosed in the ER with a cashew allergy. And I even sent her to our blog and media library, because I was like, any question you'll ever have about food allergies, you can find resources in here for. So I think just from a learning perspective, that's a great place for people to go as well.
That's amazing. Yeah, I see this going a really long way, and well done once again to you and the team. How much is it going to be when it's released? Can you release that price yet or not yet?
So we haven't officially announced pricing yet. Okay. That will be coming out very, very soon. So if you're on our newsletter, you will get that as well.
There you go. Get on the newsletter, see what's going on. Get one of these amulets. At the end of the day, you know, if you know someone who has allergies, this could be a great gift for them. And you don't even need to know if they're going to use it or not, but just to have a gift specific for people with allergies, that's an amazing thing to do. And they can look into it and they can research it. If you have allergies and you're unsure, just get it, try it out, you know, help this company build the best technology. And you know what? There's the iPhone and then the iPhone 3G and then the next iPhone and the one after that and the one after that. So we have to get the party started. So we got to get the party started with this one. So definitely get on the list and check it out.
Well, thank you. And good luck to you guys at Honeycomb. Like I said, this community is an awesome one that, you know, people that avoid food for any reason really pull together. And like I said, if I ever have to be part of any community, it's a great one to be in.
100%. Well, Meg, thank you for coming on Across the Dietary Universe, and look forward to speaking again sometime soon.
You too. Thank you.
Okay.